What do the events of The Lord of the Rings look like from Boromir's perspective? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and other great fantasy books and TV shows in nerdy detail. Welcome. Boromir obviously doesn't survive all the way through The Lord of the Rings, but his journey is nonetheless a fascinating one, not least because so much of it actually happens off-screen before we first meet him at Rivendell. As readers, we are introduced to the action in the rural backwater of the Shire. Yes, we may hear rumours of dark tidings from the south and east, and eventually the Black Riders arrive, but people there still live carefree lives. Not so in Gondor. Gondor was set up from the start as a bulwark against Mordor. All its attention and defences were facing that way. And now Sauron had returned there. Ordruin, Mount Doom, had come to life once more. The forces of evil were being drawn there, and Sauron was building a massive army. Denethor, steward of Gondor, saw all this and more through the Palantir he kept hidden, and had grown fearful of Mordor's might, living in perpetual fear of the inevitable attack. Boromir was Denethor's oldest son, his heir and one of the most trusted commanders in his army. Basically, forget the Shire start to The Lord of the Rings. Gondor had been on a war footing for decades, and Boromir had been at the forefront of it. Riding to Rivendell, as he did, would have felt to him like he was riding away from danger, rather than towards it. But to return to the start of his story, he and his brother Faramir were on the banks of the Anduin with a Gondorian force in the ruins of the ancient city of Osgiliath. Much of the eastern side of the Great River had been overrun by Sauron's forces years earlier, but Gondor still held the city and the Great Bridge across it. It was the most strategically important site to hold if they wanted to keep Mordor at bay. An attack was coming, but they didn't know when. Then, one evening, Faramir, Boromir's brother, had a vivid dream. They didn't have much time to consider it, because the next morning there was a sudden attack. Orcs, Haradrim, and Easterlings led by the Witch King himself. It was a rout. Boromir's company managed to destroy the last bridge over the Anduin and swim back, but only four of them survived, including Boromir and Faramir. Destroying the bridge would earn them some time. The Anduin was a wide river, and crossing it with an army was a complex operation, but the entire eastern side of the river was now effectively given over to Sauron's forces. Holding the west side of the river must have felt like the overriding priority, but Faramir had that dream again several more times, and then Boromir got the same one. This was clearly not just a random dream, but something prophetic. This is how Boromir describes it later at the Council of Elrond. In that dream, I thought the eastern sky grew dark, and there was a growing thunder. But in the west, a pale light lingered, and out of it I heard a voice, remote but clear, crying, "Seek for the sword that was broken. In Imladris it dwells. There shall be counsels taken, stronger than Morgul spells. There shall be shown a token that doom is near at hand, for Isildur's bane shall waken, and the halfling forth shall stand." Not much of it made sense to either Boromir or Faramir, but it seemed important, so the two brothers decided to take it to their father, Denethor. Now, Denethor doesn't come across particularly well in the Lord of the Rings films, or in the books, to be fair, but Tolkien is clear that we meet him at the end of a long decline, and at heart he is a very wise and knowledgeable man. He knew of Imladris, Rivendell, and told his sons of it. At which point, we come to a very telling moment for Boromir's character. Faramir wants to go, to follow this prophecy north. His father Denethor wouldn't want Boromir to abandon the defence of Gondor, but Boromir takes the task on himself. Why? Well, Boromir tells us simply that, "Since the way was full of doubt and danger, I took the journey upon myself." He was protecting his little brother. That's what he had been doing his whole life, in fact. After Boromir and Faramir's mother died, Denethor retreated into himself and started hating on Faramir, whose birth he blamed for her death. So Boromir stepped up, caring for Faramir as he grew. He was 5 years older, so throughout their childhood, Boromir was always very much the mentor and protector figure for Faramir. A 10-year-old caring for a 5-year-old. A 15-year-old caring for a 10-year-old. A 20-year-old caring for a 15-year-old. You get the picture. He's the caring big brother. Anyway, Boromir sets off without really knowing where he was going. The clear implication here is that Denethor knew or suspected more than he was willing to tell Boromir, out of paranoia about Aragorn and Gandalf, probably. The road he took went northwestwards through Rohan and the Gap of Rohan, but when Boromir turned north, it kind of petered out. There had once been a great north-south road that linked Gondor and Arnor, but that was now long gone. Near the abandoned town and bridge of Tharbad, he lost his horse trying to cross a dangerous ford and continued on foot, no doubt losing many of his provisions at the same time. It took him 110 days, about 3.5 months of hard travel every day, before he finally found Rivendell. And when he got there, he discovered that others had also been drawn there. Legolas from Mirkwood to tell of Gollum's escape, Gimli from Erebor to tell of Sauron making contact with them, the hobbits from the Shire and Gandalf freshly escaped from Saruman. It can only have seemed like fate. Counsels were taken, as per his dream. Then Aragorn revealed the sword that was broken, and Frodo the Halfling stood forth with the One Ring. Boromir had come all that way to seek an answer to the riddle of the dream, but now he had it, you can almost see his mind working. Seek for the sword that was broken, in Imladris it dwells, for Isildur's bane shall waken, and the Halfling forth shall stand. He had spent his entire life under the shadow of Mordor. Sauron was sure to attack at any moment, and the dream had brought him to a place where people could help save everything he knew and loved. First, he asked whether Elendil's sword could be used to help in the fight. It was a legendary ancient weapon, and one that Sauron would fear. Aragorn gave a perhaps to that. Then he suggested that the power of the One Ring could be used against Sauron, and Elrond said a flat no to that. To his credit, he doesn't press either point, and his pride prevents him actually asking for help, instead rather passively-aggressively muttering, "So be it. Then in Gondor we must trust to such weapons as we have. And at the least, while the wise ones guard this ring, we will fight on. Though I do not ask for aid, we need it. It would comfort us to know that others fought also with all the means that they have." As I said, big on the passive-aggressive, but you kind of understand him. His home and everyone he loved was under threat, and may even have already been overrun by now, for all he knew. And now he discovers some really powerful weapons in the hands of so-called allies who say they won't use them to defend Minas Tirith. Aragorn does eventually commit his sword to Minas Tirith's defence, and Boromir agrees to travel with the company for the time being. If they are going to Mordor, then they are travelling roughly the same way anyway. Which makes Boromir a bit of an exception in the Fellowship. He had never bought into the same mission as the rest of them. In truth, he was just going home, but had agreed to travel with them part of the way. So, from this perspective, we can start to see why Boromir was a bit grumpy about it all. His homeland was in grave danger, and he had abandoned it for a round trip of nearly a year for what? The answer to a riddle and a vague commitment from a ranger with a broken sword who didn't look anything like he imagined his illustrious ancestors to have done, he could have been at home preparing Gondor's defences all this time. Then, when they do set off, he gets consistently overruled on which route to take. He wanted to go back the way he came, albeit not crossing near Tharbad again, but Gandalf overruled that because he wanted to steer clear of Saruman in Isengard. They tried to go through the Redhorn Pass, but the snowstorm pushed them back. It was Boromir's idea to bring firewood with them just in case that saved them from freezing to death, which is both practical and sensible. And then he and Aragorn had to literally carry the hobbits back out to safety because the plan didn't work. Then Gandalf wanted to go through Moria, and Boromir said he would only go that way if everyone else voted against him, which they did. And when they got there, Gandalf admitted that he didn't even know the password to get in, which seems like a pretty basic oversight. In the book, Boromir gets so frustrated by all this that it is he, not Pippin, that throws the rock into the pool outside the gates and presumably wakes the Watcher in the water. Again, it's hard to fault Boromir here. He suggests the way he came, which obviously worked for him, and was overruled, then clearly isn't certain about the mountain pass route and is proven right, then doesn't want to go through Moria, and when they get there it turns out they don't even know how to get in. I think I'd have thrown a stone into the water in frustration too. Then, after he is proven right about his uncertainty about Moria, Aragorn leads the party into Lothlorien, despite Boromir's objections. It's easy to see how Boromir, a man used to giving orders and having them obeyed, might start to think that he is just being ignored all the time. Everything he asks, everything he suggests is just overruled. He's being a full and useful member of the Fellowship. He fought as well as any in Moria, but he isn't being given the respect that he is used to. And in Lothlorien, Galadriel tries to read his mind. She does this with all of the Fellowship, but Boromir seems to be the only one who actively tries to block her. "To me, it seemed exceedingly strange," said Boromir. "Maybe it was only a test, and she thought to read our thoughts for her own good purpose, but almost I should have said that she was tempting us, and offering us what she pretended to have the power to give. It need not be said that I refused to listen. The men of Minas Tirith are true to their word." But what he thought that the lady had offered him, Boromir did not tell. This is a fascinating and, I think, overlooked moment, but it's clear that from around this time, Boromir started to fixate more and more on Frodo and the ring. He pressed Frodo on what Galadriel had tempted him with, and once they were in the boats paddling down the Anduin River, he often stared at Frodo in a weird way. One evening, when they are camped up, he tries one more time to get someone, anyone, to agree to his idea that they should go to Minas Tirith, which is really close now, rather than heading off to certain doom in Mordor, but no, they are having none of it. He will have to return to his father and admit that the whole mission amounted to nothing, and the various noble dwarves, elves and humans he met all refused to come to Gondor's aid, despite Sauron's imminent attack. It's hard to think of any point anywhere where anyone did what Boromir suggested. He left his people vulnerable to Sauron in pursuit of a dream, and they said no to everything he wanted. So the Fellowship came to the moment where they would have to part ways. Final decisions had to be made. Boromir had been clear from the start that he would head back to Minas Tirith, whereas Frodo was commissioned to take the ring to Mount Doom. And it's clear that Boromir's mind and heart was now starting to be taken over by the ring. Frodo headed off to have a bit of quiet time, to build up the courage to make the final decision to head east. Boromir followed him. The passage that follows is really well written because you can see the ring's control over Boromir start ramping up over several pages without ever being inside his point of view. Boromir starts calmly talking to Frodo, then suggests once more that they go to Minas Tirith because it's on the way, questions the sanity of walking into Mordor, and keeps increasing the pressure. Can he see the ring? Why can't they use it for good? He gets up and starts pacing, talking quicker and louder, his language becoming sharper, saying all the good things he would do with the ring, that it is only Frodo's by chance and could have been his. It should have been his. Until finally the ring completely takes over and he lunges for Frodo. His face was hideously changed, a raging fire in his eyes. The ring's power over him, however, passes even quicker than it came. He trips, the fog clears, and he starts crying tears of contrition. It's a tragic moment, and I don't think we can blame him for this moment. The power of the ring was intense, and he genuinely did want to help save his people. He had been a long way, and would return empty-handed to what must have felt to him like certain defeat. Frodo escapes, and the Boromir we see after that seems defeated. He returns to the rest of the Fellowship, eyes downcast and grief-filled. After admitting that he argued with Frodo, and Frodo disappeared, Aragorn tasks him with protecting Merry and Pippin, who obviously rush off to find their friend. His death is not dwelt on in the book, but it is every bit as heroic as Sean Bean dying on screen. Aragorn finds him dying with many arrows in him, surrounded by more than 20 dead orcs. With his dying breath, he admits what he did and basically says he got what he deserved and that he failed. That must have been how he felt. He had wanted to save his people and had failed to bring aid. He had fallen to the power of the ring and, despite his best efforts, had failed to protect Merry and Pippin. Boromir felt a failure, and Aragorn forgives him. "No," said Aragorn, taking his hand and kissing his brow, "you have conquered. Few have gained such a victory. Be at peace. Minas Tirith shall not fall." In his last moments, Aragorn tells him that all that he thought he had failed at, he had actually conquered. Yes, his actions had broken the Fellowship, but it was what Frodo needed to get the courage to carry on to Mordor. Yes, he had fallen under the power of the ring, but he had come through to the other side and redeemed himself in defending Merry and Pippin. And yes, He hadn't returned to Minas Tirith with aid, but Aragorn now promised that Minas Tirith would not fall. He would go there rather than follow Frodo. Boromir failed, but in his failure lay redemption and the roots of the greatest victory of the Third Age. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.